Hi, everybody. Welcome to Cloud Cover. Today, I've got two guests. Hashi Bai, technical evangelist who works on the same team as I do, is helping me out today. And then our special guest, Tejaswi Redkar. Tejaswi, would you like to introduce yourself to everybody?
Yeah, I'm Tejaswi Redkar. I work for Microsoft Services, and I'm an author. My book was recently published in November on Windows Azure websites. And I used to be a solution architect on Azure, have been working on Azure since 2008.
Great. Well, we're excited to hear what you're going to talk about and get some good Azure knowledge from you. So let's go for it.
Yep, absolutely. So during my experience over working with multiple customers, I've built a website capability model where before migrating a website to the cloud, just look at all the capabilities required by your website. So the capability model looks at most of the popular features required by all the websites. So like, for example, identity management, search, session management, which are critical for any website to function.
Definitely.
And so the idea here is you build the model, you compare each component of your existing website and look at what are the offerings in the cloud. Mm-hmm. And then you map one-to-one and see the gaps. And then that makes it easier to decide whether you want to migrate your application to the cloud or not, whether the cloud platform supports the features that are absolutely necessary for your website or not.
Makes sense.
And so the next one is give an example of how we migrated the music store, the popular music store application, mm-hmm. to Windows Azure websites. And we followed the model. So we looked at the model, we fit the website into the model, mm-hmm. and saw the gaps. And then we also added a few features like search using the popular Elasticsearch for searching music albums.
Okay.
In music. And then what we did, one of the important features in the cloud is, and Azure, is it enables hybrid computing. Because you can have your services on premises. Not everything is going to the cloud. So how can you connect from your website running in Azure to a service running in your data center?
We get a lot of people who are really interested in that hybrid approach, so that'll be a really great thing to show off.
Yep. And so what we'll do here is we'll move the Elasticsearch server on my machine running here, and we'll use the port bridge technology, which sits on top of Service Bus, to connect the same website with just a change in the URL, mm-hmm. to point to the Elasticsearch running on my machine.
Great. So,
and then, if time permits, we'll have Q&A and some other new things that were released in websites like web jobs and staging to production swaps.
Great, okay.
As I discussed, it's a list of core technical capabilities required by your website. And it's a simple table, but it covers most of the features. So let's say identity, session management, caching, user experience, which runtime that your web application uses, either it's ASP.NET, Node.js. For example, you have to run Java, but Windows Azure websites, it doesn't offer Java right now. So,
yes.
So you do that comparison, and then it makes it clear that whether it's worth going to the cloud or not, or what are the efforts required to go to the cloud, or do you want to offload some of the components into other services like virtual machine or platform as a service, cloud services. And the next one is data security address. Security is very important in the cloud, and if your current web application requires some encryption, mm-hmm. of your data, then how are you going to do that in the cloud? Yep. So for example, in Windows Azure websites, you don't have access to the native certificate store. So you might have to load a certificate from somewhere else into the memory, but is that feasible? Mm-hmm. And is it even worth going that direction? So those are the kinds of things that the model brings forth, and then you can decide whether you want to deploy your application or migrate your application, mm-hmm. to Windows Azure websites or not.
Because sometimes when you migrate to cloud, they're also looking at the quality of service improvement, like availability, scalability.
Absolutely. So if you see the model, so we'll deliver this model after the session, I guess, and it's there in my book. We did an MVA session. This model is also there from those slides. So
great.
So we have this all over the place. If you need it, you can reach out to us. There's nothing secret about it. And so we'll dive down deep into the music store web app.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So So this Music Store web app, it's a popular web app for MVC, for people learning MVC, and it's available on CodePlex. So you can go to CodePlex, download the MVC Music Store. Now, this is the current architecture of the website, right? So it's very simple. There is a web application, there is a shopping cart which resides in the session, but it's in-memory session, right? So it's tied to one machine. Mm-hmm. And then the database is SQL CE by default, the application database. And then there is the popular membership API for managing the members of the website, your users, which is based on an ASP.NET database.
Okay.
So now, how would you migrate this to a Windows Azure website? And on top of that, I want to add new features, more features like search and analytics on top of this website. So this is the capability model I built for MVC Music Store. So let's say identity management. Currently, it assumes that it's a single machine server. But in the cloud, there is no affinity to a single machine.
Mm-hmm.
You must assume that website can be run on any machine and multiple machines, because scaling up and down is just a matter of clicks. And so in the future state, if you look, so ASP.NET membership API, it is supported. And so you can use SQL Azure. You can migrate the database, the ASP.NET membership database, into SQL Azure,
mm-hmm.
and then continue using it as it was used before. So that is the first step. So first step is, let's get it working. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you can decide to include other identity providers, like the social ones, like Twitter. And because this is more of a consumer-oriented site, it would be great to include Facebook, Twitter, Microsoft account, all these identities, and so users can log into it. But to start with, let's make it work.
Absolutely.
Right. The next one is the session management. So in the current state, it uses in-memory sessions,
mm-hmm.
which is, again, a problem in the cloud, because in Windows Azure websites, you get load balancer by default, and you don't have control over where the request will be forwarded, and which machines, if you have more than one server running the website. And in-memory sessions are tied to only one machine. So if the same user gets routed to another machine, that session is not available. And if the user has put some albums in the shopping cart, the user will not see those albums in the second machine. And that you might lose business. So that session management can have business impact. That's why it's very critical. So in the future state, what is available in Windows Azure? So there is Windows Azure Shared Cache, which is right now in preview, but you can use it for session management.
Caching is something that's near and dear to Hashi's heart.
Yeah. You can use SQL Azure Database also for managing sessions, though it's not ideal, but again, our first step is making it work.
Sure.
Make sure the application works as is in the cloud, and then you can enhance it.
Mm-hmm.
So there are options, and when we migrated, we tested with shared cache. It worked well, but because it's in preview, if you want to move it to production, I would start with the SQL Azure Database. And then once the shared cache is available in production, you can just point it. And because both of these technologies support the provider model, mm-hmm. so it's just a matter of changing connection strings in your web.config file.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So I just want to clarify a terminology thing.
Sure.
Windows Azure shared cache is actually getting deprecated. We have a Windows Azure Cache service, mm-hmm. which is a hosted service. We have dedicated cache cluster. Mm-hmm. That's in preview.
Yeah. So I apologize if there is some naming issues. But
well, it's been changing.
The name changes so often.
If you want to use the cache, look at the cache service.
Yeah, cache service, yeah. Okay, so let's go to the next one. So session management. So for session management, we can use Windows Azure Caching Service as well as SQL Azure Database. For caching itself, so if you want to cache the albums, right? So then you can use in-memory cache or, again, caching service. And because it provides provider model, you can just use in your web.config.
Great.
So next one is data storage. So migrating SQL CE to SQL Azure. So one of the things that we have in CodePlex is there is a tool built by enthusiasts where you can just take a SQL CE database and migrate it to SQL Store. It's called Export SQL CE to SQL. So, and with that, you will get a SQL script, and then you can just run that script with the data and schema on SQL Azure, and the data will be available there. And then just you can point your web application to the SQL Azure database. The next one is user experience. So we don't see any user experience impact, because one of the important things of moving your existing application to the cloud is keeping the user experience consistent.
And that everything that's here and run locally is going to run in the cloud, so it's going to work there.
Yeah. So it's not a big issue. The data security at rest was not an issue because we didn't have any security per se, where we required encryption. And then data security in transit was also not an issue because we did not need it for this web application. But if you needed it, then you could use HTTPS for data security in transit. You'll have to create a certificate, upload it to Windows Azure websites, and then bind that certificate to your website so users can use HTTPS.
Great.
So load balancing. In Windows Azure, you get load balancing by default, right? So, but we didn't see any issues in migrating because you have the load balancer. And if you are using a load balancer currently in your data center, no issues because you get it by default. Just make sure about any sticky sessions that you're using, and that may affect your session management in the cloud. So scale up, scale down, scale out. So scale up is scaling up the machines. In Windows Azure websites, you have three machine types for scaling up, small, medium, large. And then you can scale out to as many instances as you want. So in standard mode, you can scale up and then scale out in shared and standard. For free, you don't have scaling capabilities.
Sure.
Monitoring and diagnostics. So you can use existing capabilities in Windows Azure websites for tracing, monitoring, and then also use third-party providers like New Relic. And if you have a very, very large environment, let's say you have not just one, but hundreds of sites, and you want to do analysis on these logs running in Azure, not just websites, but let's say you have 100 VMs and then another cloud services running, then you can aggregate all those logs and then send it off to HD Insight for analysis in the cloud. So that's one thing to keep track of for very large environments, for running MapReduce jobs on those logs. Next one is geo-deployment. And so Windows Azure websites enables you to deploy it in any of the 8 data centers that we have around the world. And so you can deploy your websites to Asia, Europe. You can have multiple instances of those websites and closer to your users. And if you couple that with content delivery network, which is right now not available in Azure, but you can use a third-party content delivery network for now. And you can move data closer to users for caching. So that's in the list. Then messaging. Windows Azure provides several message buses for messaging across applications, between applications, not just one type, but multiple types. So in this particular website, because it was fairly simple, we didn't find the need. So there is none across the table. There are no integration. Search is something that we decided that we wanted search capabilities. Yep. And the current search capabilities in the website were driven by database. But in very large environments, you want to offload search capabilities from your transactional database into a dedicated search engine.
Sure.
And what we decided that let's use Elasticsearch, which is a popular search engine designed for the cloud, because it can scale out as per your needs. It can even shard your indices with on one machine as well as multiple machines, and then automatically replicate your index.
So you're going to add a really powerful open source search to
search engine. Yeah, to start with, again, start small, have one or two instances, a cluster of two Elasticsearch servers, and then you index the album data from your existing database into Elasticsearch. So you can do that in .NET also. I'll show you how.
Great.
So let's move into the future state architecture. So how does it look like? So if you see in the future state, you still have the membership API, you have the shopping cart session, and you have Elasticsearch for search and browse, and then PWIC, which is another open source server for analytics. Now this is for your custom analytics. If you don't want to use a third-party analytics engine, then this is an open source analytics engine that you can run in a VM and then dump all the analytics from your website into this engine.
Great.
So basic search concept. So just to understand before we drill down, so search has a crawler, and the crawler gathers all the data and then indexes it. An index is basically, it's a database, a file-based database for storing all the metadata of your objects. And then the websites and other applications, they query that index through a query service. Now this query service needs to have powerful caching capabilities as well as caching invalidation capabilities. So as soon as new index data comes in, the query service needs to understand. So Elasticsearch is based on the same concept of standard search architecture. So the slide includes some of the concepts that we discussed about Elasticsearch and search if you want to drill down deeper, okay. And where you can download it from. And you can even run Elasticsearch on your desktop.
Great. And we'll make sure the links for the Elasticsearch and everything else that we show are down at the bottom underneath the video.
All right. Excellent. Thank you. So this is the conceptual architecture for music stores. So how can we implement Elasticsearch in music stores? So there is the music store website. Elasticsearch has a REST-based API, but we'll be using a Nest.NET component, client component, for Elasticsearch. It's an SDK available on GitHub. It's called NEST, Nest, and it provides link-based query model. And so you don't need to worry about the REST API for Elasticsearch. You just call, give it the URL, and then call as if you're calling a .NET service. So in this application, what we have done is we looked at the existing albums in the database, and because the database was small, we just went over a for loop, and for each object, album object, we just indexed it. Mm-hmm. And then the index was created in the Elasticsearch, and then the browse and search queries, browse and search functions in music search, we started using the query API instead of going to the entity framework database access. So that's what was implemented originally in music store.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So the connection here between the website and the virtual machine just exposed a public endpoint for the
right now it's just public. Yeah, okay. it's open. But if you want to secure that, you can use a service bus connection. But right now, just for testing purposes, it's open.
Okay.
So I have a small website where you can deploy Elasticsearch as a VM into cloud for free. So you can just go to this link, and I also have a blog article on how to build a cluster, Elasticsearch cluster,
great.
Into Azure. So
super easy putting Elasticsearch into my own VM. That's great.
Yeah. So this is how it looks. It's a free one VM. You can. There is also two node cluster, but I have created a blog on how to do it yourself. So
great.
It's a step-by-step procedure. It's available in my book also. So album ingestion. So ingestion is basically now you are getting the albums from the database and ingesting into the index. So this is a procedure. If you drill down into the code, there are lots of comments, of course, in here, but there are only three or four statements which are very simple. But the key statement here is for each album, client.index, right? That's how simple it is. And so each album, the index function takes album, then the index name, which was in the configuration file, and you can name it to whatever you want, and then a few other parameters and the unique ID.
So this right here is just going to build your whole index for you?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. And so ideally, what I would do is have like a backend crawler that indexes every hour, or index it when someone inserts an album.
Sure.
So there are multiple ways depending on the volume of your application. So the top part of the code is just basically creating a connection to Elasticsearch. It's like a typical data storage client, right? Mm-hmm. You connect, you establish a connection to the service, and then you call the API, similar to database.
So here we're indexing the album by their names or by their types or contents?
So what happens is, so we have an album object, mm-hmm. and behind the scenes, the album object gets converted into a JSON object, right? Because Elasticsearch accepts JSON objects. And we are indexing based on the album ID. But what Elasticsearch will do is it will look at all the fields of that JSON object, and then you will be able to query on any of the fields.
Oh,
and
then it indexes everything.
Yeah, index
all the fields.
Whatever you give it, right?
I
so
see.
Because I'm giving the entire album, mm-hmm. I have to index it. So one of the things that I had to be very careful in doing this is avoid the double references, circular references, right? Because now albums have orders and orders have albums. So if you see the object model, so there is a circular reference there. So you have to have add an attribute called JSON ignore there, so that you don't have that circular reference. So now the albums are indexed. Now how would you browse it? So there is a browse function already in the music store. And now if you see Elasticsearch client has a search function, and then you use link query with a filter on browsing the particular album by genre.
So if I'm used to link, which you know most C# developers are probably used to link, this is really no different. It's just you're using Elasticsearch client. You're going to send in a filter build with link.
Exactly, and yeah, talking to a very powerful search engine. Behind the scenes, you can have like 100 node Elasticsearch cluster running, but
great.
From client, you're just simple .NET link. So this has been made possible by the Nest client SDK.
Okay.
So let me jump over to the demo. Let me first see. So Elasticsearch, this is the plugin to Elasticsearch called Elasticsearch Head.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What it does is it gives you access to your index. It shows you what's being indexed or how many servers are being deployed. So here, if you see, there is one server, and if I go to the browser, right now there are no indexes here. So let me go to another server here. Now, if you see, so I had deployed a cluster, Elasticsearch cluster. It shows me that there are two nodes in the cluster, but one is unassigned. So we don't have to worry about it right now, why it is unassigned. But let's assume that there is one server at least running,
mm-hmm.
and then there are five shards of my index, album index. Now let me go to the browser. Now this is how the index looks like. Because I went over, I did a for loop, and because the index is small, the database is small, the data here you will see is also smaller in quantity. But this service can be used for very large data indexing capabilities.
So it's going to scale really quite well.
Yeah, and then if you have multiple servers, all those servers will be listed here with the replicated shards. So if you see, the zero shard can be replicated onto another server. It does it automatically. You have to just let it know that I want this shard to be replicated, and it will automatically replicate.
Great.
Yeah. So the next one I will go over is, so this is the source code. So simple, in web.config, there is an app key called Elasticsearch index name. So I'm naming it MVC Music Store. And then there is Elasticsearch URI. So there are two URIs here. So one URI is Elasticsearch VM, so CA, which is running live in the cloud. So mm-hmm. let me show you here. So if I go to the virtual machines, the top one is the Elasticsearch VM on Elasticsearch VMACA Cloud App.net. And this, mm-hmm. this was the index that we were seeing. And so the website is deployed to musicweb.azurewebsites.net. And that is running in here in the websites list. So now what is happening is the Music Web website, mm-hmm. it's calling the Elasticsearch running in the VM with that specific URL. As Haishi was asking me whether it's right now open. So right now, yes, it is open. But if you want to secure it, then you will need like a service bus connection or some other IP address filtering within
okay.
that VM. And so this Music Web, now if you see here, this Music Web is calling the Elasticsearch. And now if I click any of these links on the sidebar, so this sidebar itself, it's constructed using the genre from Elasticsearch index.
Okay.
So, and also if I click, it invokes the browse functionality. So the browse function here with the name of the genre, right? Now the data is retrieved from the Elasticsearch index. It no longer goes to the database for retrieving this data. So when you click the browse button, it goes to the browse function. So the original browse function was using entity model.
Mm-hmm.
I've commented that, and then I'm using the Elasticsearch model.
Okay, so really easy from a code perspective to change from going to the database to going to this new, faster, very scalable search.
Yeah. And the beauty is you keep your object model. You don't have to change your object model. As long as you index it the right way, your objects can be converted to JSON, and it's just a piece of cake. That's what
Great.
The point is. Similarly, I added a search function, and this is a new function which did not exist before. And you can add a you can add any function which requires search capabilities, and you can start using Elasticsearch now that the index has been created. Any questions so far?
No. From the code perspective, it seems like this is actually really very, very easy to do. It's just once you have Elasticsearch set up, you're kind of good to go.
Yeah, and then you are getting a powerful search functionality behind the scenes. Previously, we have had to deploy Solr or Lucene, and then there was a lot of confusion on how to use it.
Right.
But now with the Nest API, Nest SDK, and the ease of deploying Elasticsearch into the cloud, into Azure especially, this is piece of cake. I recommend all such kind of search functionality and browse functionality be offloaded from your website and use a search engine. So keep your OLTP database free for transactions.
Great.
Yep. That's how it looks from the website perspective. So we have migrated the existing music store website into Windows Azure websites, and then we added search functionality.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar. I added a PWIC analytics engine. If you go to virtual machines, there is this PWIC analytics. Similarly, you go to Dynamic Deploy, and there is a free way of deploying PWIC into Azure as a VM. And then what PWIC gives you is a JavaScript. So I went into Music Store and went into the Layout Manager, layout.cs, and this is where I added the PWIC analytics script. I'll make it 150%.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And if you see now the URL, so this script is auto-generated by PWIC. I haven't done anything other than copying and pasting. When I installed PWIC, it gave me that script.
Right.
So I just copy-pasted into layout so that it's available in all the pages.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And whenever users use it, there is a JavaScript that gets downloaded from that PWIC VM, and it starts dumping link tracking and usage information into analytics.
This is great. Yeah. So, kind of an open source, so if I don't want to give my analytics data to somebody else, I can just roll my own VM and start getting my own analytics on my own server.
Awesome. And then you can have multiple websites, and so you can reuse the VM for not just music store, but other websites also.
Great.
And then scale out that analytics VM also for your purpose.
Fantastic.
So, now, once you start using it, this is how the page looks like. So this is a page loaded from the VM, analytics VM, and then once you start using it, you will see page views. You can drill down further. I'm not going to go deep into this, but the idea is that there is an analytics engine. You can deploy it, and we successfully added analytics and search capabilities on top of an existing website, and this didn't take a long time, if you see.
Great. Right. Good to see.
Yeah. So the next one, now let me go back to the PowerPoint deck. Now let's look at hybrid connectivity. Now let's take a step back. Now, if you have your Elasticsearch running on-premises, because it might be indexing something else on-premises, or it, let's say, line of business. It may not apply to this specific application, but think of that scenario, right? And then you want your website to talk to that search engine or some web service which is running in your data center. So what are the different ways? So currently, Windows Azure website does not support virtual network, right? So you cannot attach a website to a virtual network in Windows Azure. So the only option and stable option is using Service Bus. So there is Port Bridge, which, so this was a tool built by Clemens Vasters a few years back,
mm-hmm.
and it became very popular. And so we have modified it to when we have tested it. And so we have used it to connect to assets running in your own data center. So hybrid connectivity is basically connecting your applications running in the cloud to applications running in your own data center and passing through the network and security and firewalls, everything without hassles. So common scenarios are line of business, healthcare data. There might be healthcare data on premises, and you might need a piece of that into the cloud, right? So, but you don't want to move the entire system into the cloud because of compliance.
Yeah, or maybe you can even move it there.
Yeah. So the solution architecture looks this way, right? So there is service bus relay. So service bus has multiple services. So relay is one of those where you can make a WCF-like method invocation from website or any application running in the into the cloud to a web service running on premises. So in this solution architecture is LOB application. And for today's demo, just replace that LOB application with Elasticsearch.
Okay.
So the concept is the same. So you need Azure IP address ranges for some reason to have IP filtering within your network. Then there is a website where you can get the IP address ranges for Azure data centers.
Okay.
And here are some implementation resources if you want to do it on your own, right? So we'll make this available to you.
Great.
Here are some tools. So Service Bus Explorer was a tool built by DP, and it's a great tool for testing your service bus connectivity between your cloud applications and on-premises. It's a Windows tool, but it's a great testing. So you can create mocked up data and see whether your connections are working or not.
That's pretty useful.
Yeah, and then the next one is the Port Bridge. You can download the Port Bridge and start using it.
Can you tell us a little bit more about how Port Bridge works or what it really is?
So what Port Bridge is it abstracts the service bus relay further, right? So if you want to connect your application to, let's say, a database running in your data center, if you want to use service bus APIs directly, then you'll have to create a WCF interface on top of database.
Okay.
Right? So which is a pain. But what PortBridge does is it basically abstracts that and acts as a router or a facade on top of your database connection. So from your application perspective, you are just talking 1433. But you're talking to PortBridge. And PortBridge just routes that 1433 over the service bus to the database on premises. So there is no code change required in your application. Hmm. So that's the value proposition.
Great. Yeah.
So this is how the Port Bridge service works. And because there is abstraction, there is one more layer on top of it. So there is a performance hit. It's not that everything is free, right?
Sure.
So in the music store application, what I am doing here is, so there is a music store website, and instead of talking to the Elasticsearch URL, I'm talking to the PVIC VM. Now, why PVIC VM? Because I have PortBridge running on it.
Okay, so I'm just reusing it.
Yeah, I don't want to spend that much money.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I'm reusing. So I have PortBridge client running on PVIC VM, and then on this machine, I have Elasticsearch running, and the PortBridge server running on this laptop.
Okay.
So how it will work is the music application, without a single line of code change, only configuration change. I'm just changing the URI. Without a single line of code change, it will start calling through the Port Bridge to the Elasticsearch running on my machine and retrieve data back.
Great.
So let's see it, right? So let's first see what all infrastructure components you need for this kind of setup. Right? First thing, you will need a service bus relay endpoint. So let's go to the portal. This is the Windows Azure portal. I go to service bus. And so I have already created a PortBridge service bus endpoint, which I'm going to use for connecting these two services. Right? Then I have a virtual machine, the PVIC virtual machine, which is running a PortBridge client. So what PortBridge client is doing is it is basically exposing a service bus endpoint as a proxy to my music store application.
So basically, you just need to pull that down, put it, run it on the VM, you know, maybe configure a little bit, and you're good to go.
Exactly. So you have to give the URL of the service bus endpoint, and you have to expose the other side of the port bridge client to the music store website.
Okay.
So from music store website perspective, it's thinking it's calling Elasticsearch directly, but it's actually calling PIVIC.
Great.
And so from PIVIC, then it connects to the Elasticsearch, and then on my machine, I have two command. So there is an Elasticsearch server running, then there is a port bridge server running. Here. Now, port bridge server here is aware of Elasticsearch server. So it has a configuration. Let me show you the configuration. So this is the port bridge. So this is the configuration of the port bridge server. And what it has is the port bridge service bus endpoint name and the security credentials of that endpoint. And then this is my local machine and the allowed ports. So which are all the ports allowed for this port bridge server to connect to? And 9200 is the port that I'm looking for, which on which Elasticsearch runs.
Okay.
And so now, if I go, so what I have done is one thing I wanted to address here is the website recently released the staging to production swap feature, right? So similar to cloud services, now you can have your website running in a staging slot and then you can swap it with the production slot too. So what I'm doing is I'm running the hybrid website in the staging slot here. So when I enable staging, I get a staging website.
Yep.
And I have deployed that staging website from here, from my machine to the staging slot. So you can just deploy similar to how you would deploy a normal
just like
website.
The staging.
Yeah. Just you need a published profile of that staging website.
So in this situation, we could be using staging in the production one. We're currently going into our VM running in Azure with Elasticsearch, but our staging is going to go back to the on-premise. So if we wanted to, for example, for whatever reason, switch from VM back to on-premise, we test it out in staging, and then once we are happy with it, we can then just swap it out to production.
Awesome. Exactly like that. And so now let's go to our staging website. So now if you see here, now it's musicweb-staging.azurewebsites.net. Now if you see, it's a little bit slower than the previous website because now it and these sites are running in Asia. They're not even running in the US. So we are going from here to Asia to through the service bus.
Back to your
back
computer
to my
right
machine here.
Here
in the Cloud Cover Studio and going back. Still not bad, right?
Yeah, I mean, considering that, I'm gonna say that's pretty good.
Yeah. So now all the browse albums, all the search, it's going from this website all the way to my machine. And then you might see some interaction here also, if you're lucky, because it pools connections.
But so basically, just from the website perspective, you change just the URI and the config file, and then you know beyond the website, that's all you have to do. The website, then you're just setting up the port bridge server and the client,
exactly.
And you're like that's
and you're good to go. And if you see the website, I'll go over the only difference between staging and production. So if you see here, the Elasticsearch URI for the staging website is PIVIC VM. Now this. From the application's perspective, it's talking to Elasticsearch. But actually, it's talking to the port bridge proxy and then going through the service bus and returning back the same data that it expects. And this URI, which I've commented, this talks to the Elasticsearch VM running in Azure.
Great.
So we are fooling. So this is, I love it when I fool software.
Well, I mean, it's remarkably easy to accomplish now going back from the Windows Azure website to on-prem. And, you know, considering the fact that your non-server laptop running, that was, you know, pretty quick and very responsive. So very awesome.
All right. So now let's go back. One more quick feature that was announced recently was web jobs. I don't have a demo for that, but it's a great feature. Previously, if you wanted to run some back-end process, a back-end service, along with your website, it was not possible. You had to run it in either a worker role or a virtual machine. Mm-hmm. But with web jobs, you can pretty much run any executable as a continuous or a timely or once within your website.
This might be something great, like if I want to set up that index to run every hour, I could just create the code to do the index, put it in my web job, and then tell my web job to run every hour or however often, and that'll just do the indexing for me.
Exactly. That's exactly where I was going.
Great.
And so if you see web jobs, it's in preview. You can go here on your portal and then just click add a web job, give it a name, browse the file. It can be an executable, and then select one of the three options. The second one is not available yet, but run continuously and run on demand. Right. Okay. Now those, so run on demand means there is a button on the portal, you can do run once and it will run.
Great. So you know, even if I have something else set up to do my schedule job, maybe if I want to run one just an off, you know, just hey, I want to index it right now.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. So someone from the support team, the Microsoft Services support team, has created like capturing data dumps from websites using the web jobs, and then getting those data dumps into some another system.
Very awesome.
Yeah. So there is a list of activities that you need to set up PortBridge. We'll make this available to you on what all things that are needed. It's a stepwise procedure. For the first time, it can be a little confusing because PortBridge has multiple moving parts, because you have the Elasticsearch, then the PortBridge server, then the PortBridge proxy, and then your application.
Right.
So you want to make sure that all of them talk to each other.
Right. And it's important to point out that while, you know, in this demo where you were, you know, that line of business application, that thing running on premises, Elasticsearch, but that could really be any service we have,
yeah.
Anything we might need to access.
Any service that supports TCP, you can just go. It can be a database. You can even use, you can even do RDP using 3389.
Wow, great.
Yeah. All right, that's all I had for today.
Awesome. Well, Tejasvi, thanks so much for coming on. This is really great stuff. The hybrid stuff is just amazing. I think people are going to be excited to see, you know, what some of the steps they should consider when they're going to port something like a website into the cloud. So this is really great stuff.
Yep.
Thanks for being on. Hashi, thanks for joining me. Appreciate it, guys.
It's my pleasure.
And thanks, everybody, for watching.
Thank you.